Winner's Circle has helped me, from the osmosis of winning energy, people around me winning constantly, and the perspective and the proportion of their wins too aligns me, And so my entire life, I've always been in winning circles, and that's how I've gotten to where I am.
So when you were between the two, when you left MySpace and you were like, fuck, like you said, it's like you lost an arm, basically.
Yeah. I felt, what am I going
to
do?
Did you ever go to, so I had to go through like this almost year where I finally hit reset. It took me a good year of like, I think I went into a depression. I said I was drinking too much. I was, but I did hit reset eventually and go like, and then I was able to reassess and be like, I knew who my friends were. I knew who my friends weren't.
Sure.
A lot of things around me changed.
Yeah.
But then I looked at it and was like, wow. Why did I care about all these things I didn't think I cared about?
Sure.
Why did I care about like people in the movie business and the, whether they thought what Variety thought or Hollywood Reporter thought or
no
whatever. No one cares, but I did.
Yeah, right.
And I thought they cared and I thought it was everything. And then you realize it's actually all these things that I thought were so important, nobody gives a fuck about.
So I went through this transition, right? So then I had the next company and I did pretty well, but it was never going to be as big as MySpace. It was never going to be one of those things. And, obviously in the back of my mind, I'm like, fuck, maybe I chose the wrong path. What am I doing? And then I did fine. And then along the way, running a public company is never fun. And I didn't, people told me, don't do it, don't do it. I'm glad I did, by the way. I did two of them along the way, but I had experienced some pain that I'd never felt in my life. It's running a public company, right?
Well, that's the worst.
Sarbanes-Oxley, not fun.
Oh, I'm on two boards right now.
Not fun, and it's. And
it's like going to the proctologist every day.
Yeah, and it's a lot, right?
Literally.
A lot. And then they write about you, and it's like, oh, the guy driving around a Bugatti, and it's like overpaid, just nonstop.
Yeah. Well, it's the worst. Like, you drive a fancy car, it's all of a sudden like he must be making too much money.
Overpaid.
It's like, well, but what about all the stuff I did prior to this to earn my Bugatti?
Exactly.
Yeah. I built it from the ground.
Right. Yeah. And this is my company.
Yeah, by the way, I made money before this company,
right.
So they don't care.
It doesn't matter. It's like shareholders are shareholders, and it doesn't matter.
You
if
saw
they have one share if they have.
Did you see the guy? So Elon Musk. I don't know if you saw this, but he, obviously he has Tesla and he has all these other companies. And he came and said, "Hey, I've got my own AI I built, and if Tesla wants me to put it in Tesla, because he only owns like 13% or 12%, he's like, I got to own more of Tesla. Otherwise, I'm just going to go just, like I did with SpaceX, whatever. I'll just do my other company because there's nothing that says I'm doing everything in Tesla." And they gave him, I forgot what it was, 5% or whatever the right amount is, which technically is worth, a couple $100 billion. And there's a guy.
Wait,
but get this.
Wow.
So there's some guy, I forgot the state. I want to say it's like Minnesota or something. And he had bought, I think it was 3 shares of Tesla. And made money, tripled his money, sued individually Elon Musk and Tesla and said, you can't do that. It's like it's hurting shareholder value. And it created a derivative suit that he led. He made money. Now, I think he literally tripled his money. Maybe it was doubled. And won. And they unraveled the transaction.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
How fucked up is that?
It's crazy.
That's a public company for you, though.
Ted, when you're talking about how you got to the pinnacle, then you hit the bottom, then you rebuilt yourself, it's very similar to like an athlete winning a championship.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Because that's why we connected, by the way. Not to,
that's good.
Because
no.
Literally our first show we did, I'm like, holy shit,
yeah.
My life is the life you live every day. Because I was like, blinders, go do this every day, just
every
like an
day.
Athlete.
Sure.
And then you wake up one day and go.
And you wake up and you're like, and so it.
We're just uncoordinated athletes.
Yeah. No, literally.
But that's
what we are.
That's basically what you're, because you're chasing, and in the pursuit of chasing, sometimes you lose yourself.
You totally lose yourself.
You wind up depressed by yourself, and picking yourself up and rebuilding yourself in front of other people publicly is very tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're chasing this championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's had championships. And people wonder why athletes get up and do it all over every year.
They got to re-up.
They got to re-up. UConn coach said.
How do you get bigger?
That's how you get bigger. That's what I watched the national championship and they got him on the bus at the end. And they're asking him about celebrating. He's like, I'm already thinking about next year's.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be. because he's already won one before. And that's what is very similar. Yeah. So a lot of people can identify with what you went through up here and then coming back down. But the hardest thing is getting back up.
So with that, I've figured that out. Okay, I'm going to show you how I do it. And yeah. I talk about it in my book, which is coming out soon, Winning by
Osmosis.
What's the book called? Winning by Osmosis.
So that's what we focus on the most. And sure. I think for everybody here, Winning yes. by Osmosis, because that's what we really talk to people about is mm-hmm. specifically, you're going to fall.
Sure.
If you're not falling, you haven't tried. Okay, whether yeah. it's being an athlete, whether it's being an entrepreneur, whether yes. it's, you know, being an actor. We have all different types on here. Choreographers, mm-hmm. we've had the biggest names.
Sure.
You know, talk about from Bill Gates to Elon Musk, they've all failed.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're just a troll on the side who hasn't tried.
Sure.
What do you do when you fail? How do you get back up?
How do you get back up?
So I think it's a decision. After a lot of internal turmoil and battle about what am I going to do, the depression, the virtual shit that never happens, all the stuff you think about, that you think is going to happen.
Oh my God.
Also the fear of future, regret of the past, fear of the future, regret of the past, you're never present. All that stuff, the surfing. Mm. Once you get past
that
stuff.
Fear of the future and regret of the past.
I
lived it.
Yeah. Fear of the future, regret of the past.
We call it feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Feel the fear and do it
anyway. That's our motto here.
That's true.
That was good though.
Yeah.
You need to say that again.
Yeah. Fear of the future and regret of the past.
You're
surfing between the two, but you're never present. You're never right now.
You got to be right
in the middle. So the thing is, like, I realized that I had to make a decision. Am I going to get back up or am I not? Because that's it. It's just one or the other.
There's nothing
in the between.
You can't just live
in
the gray.
You decide you're going to get back up. Okay, cool. But then you got to realign your priorities. So the way that what really helped me so much is my book is about this, too. It's about creating winner's circles. And having the winning circle will enable you to put your wins and your losses in perspective. And I'll give you an idea. I had a shareholder lawsuit. This is fun. A shareholder lawsuit, it was a $9 million thing, you know, like a demand letter for $9 million, right?
You're going to be public. You get lots of those, right?
Yeah, it happens all the time, right? So, and I was thinking about this and thinking like, hey, I got a Cook Island Trust. I got Nevis Corp. I got all this stuff, right? I got all this stuff, right? Great, I'm protected. But at the same time, it's like, I'm going to spend millions of dollars in fighting this thing. It's going to be 5 to 7 years of my life, you know? And it's like, it's a lot. So then I was kind of upset about it, you know? And then I have this dinner that I do every Thursday at Christ for 4.5 years. There's 12 guys. I have 80 guys in my dinner club. Every one of them I've curated myself. They're all winners, you know, and they've all done a variety of different things. I actually have a women's club, too. And
I like to say
that
they were all losers because you have to lose to win.
You have to lose 50 times to win once.
Right.
You know, that's just
how it is.
That's
the whole point.
That's the ratio, right? So essentially the winner's circle put things into perspective. So I was at one of my dinners. I was talking to my guy. He said, hey, you look down. Why are you down? This guy's a PhD. He's a real smart guy. He's done really, really well in his life. And he said, you know, I told him what happened. He said, let me show you something. And he shows me a docket. He said, they're suing me for $150 million. And I've been fighting this for 6 years. And I've spent millions of dollars fighting this case, you know, this lawsuit. And he's just happy. He doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care at all. It does not care at all. And so it put my situation into perspective. And from that moment on, did not care. It didn't happen. And it did not happening anyways. Didn't happen. Also, it didn't happen. Okay? It was just a demand letter, right? Whatever. They were going to spend a lot of money, and it was just, you know, whatever. But so that kind of situation put my life into perspective. Now, winner's circle has helped me, you know, from the osmosis of winning energy. People around me winning constantly, and the perspective and the proportion of their wins too aligns me, you know. And so my entire life I've always been in winning circles, and that's how I've gotten to where I am. And all the ideas that I've had that I've executed on have come from my winning circles. I am not a pioneer. I don't have ideas. I'm a fast follower. I follow everything. I reverse engineer things. I had a guy named Robbie Lee. He did the biggest dry cleaning roll-up in history, called U.S. Dry Cleaning. He was going out by mom-and-pop dry cleaning operations on a private vehicle, no cash, and no public equity. Private vehicle, selling dreams. I didn't even know what that was. Robbie showed me how to sell dreams, and there's an LA Times article you guys will find. I went on a $100 million acquisition spree, rolling up tech companies without any cash and with a private vehicle. I did the same thing. I learned it from Robbie Lee. He was in my winning circle and that osmosis. I learned how to do it from him. And then, you know, he showed me, you know, he put the idea in my head that I need to take this roll up public. I need to go public with this thing.
Yep.
I figured it out. I got aligned with the people that did it. So it's all about that. I never had those ideas in my head. I never knew how to buy companies without cash. You're a roll up guy. You know what I mean?